stop tweeting about how Patrick Mahomes still has work to do. I get it. We all get it. Have fun, please.
They're trying. You're trying.
It's the fourth preseason game. Enjoy them. We're probably not going to see Patrick Mahomes for, I don't know, two or three more weeks before the Chiefs finally pull that ripcord, right?
Whoa.
Just kidding. That's a joke. We're not going to see Patrick Mahomes for a long time. Can
well,
you just come
unless
we live
something
in it?
Happens, unless something drastic. Happens. Yeah,
sure.
Alex Smith gets hurt or the season quickly turns sour somehow.
I mean, it would
something
take,
happens. It would take Alex Smith getting hurt.
It would take a lot.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything so just, less than that.
Just have some fun, please, Twitter. You're so mad all the time. Just be happy for an evening.
9 for 16, 183, one touchdowns.
It made for
two interceptions called back. That
didn't make the stat sheet, so I don't remember them.
I didn't think so.
That's a pretty good night tonight. The first half, at least, was fun. The Chiefs win their fourth preseason game because that result clearly matters. I'm Josh Briscoe in for Danny Klingscale, Frank Bohl here. Again tonight, we're here to break down everything that we saw, the good, the bad, the ugly. We'll take your calls, 913-3810-810. Tonight's postgame show is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports, and Missouri Lottery. Every ticket you play gives back to schools across Missouri, so play it forward with Missouri Lottery. We have sponsors now that I've found out about, so we can say thank you to our sponsors that make the show actually happen. Feels like something that I should be doing. Saying thank you to the sponsors.
Yeah, you want to. You want to keep working?
Right.
That's a pretty good idea.
Go ahead and say thank you to the sponsors.
You got it.
All right, Frank. So it was a good first half, a fun first half.
It was fun.
It was Patrick Mahomes' first start as a Chief, whatever that's worth. It's a preseason game. But now the preseason, the off season, all officially over. T-minus less than a week, technically. It's what, six days and like 20 hours?
By this time next Thursday.
The Chiefs will have lost their first game of the regular season.
Probably be 0-1.
Can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
Never know. Okay, now we're going to take callers tonight. What I want from the callers, okay, you can talk. I'm sure you're going to talk about Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Whatever you want to talk about, free game, you're on. But I also want to know whether they're going to win or lose against New England,
okay,
what that score is going to be, and then what you think their final record is going to be for the season.
I like it. You're getting kind
okay
of you're cooking up the regular season predictions.
Let's go.
While also getting the preseason feelings.
Exactly.
I'm into that. 913-3810-810. Don't come in here with any weak preseason takes. You've got a whole banquet to choose from what you want to talk about. What caught your eye, though, tonight, Frank? We're going to talk about Patton Mahomes ad nauseum, I'm sure. Is that the first thing in front of your mind?
It was the only thing I was looking for to begin with was Patrick Mahomes. And then you sort of wait around in a game like this. It's always the twos and threes and fours, since there are still so many players on these squads going against one another. You never know who's going against who at what time. I think Tennessee did sprinkle in some of the ones who hadn't gotten a lot of play during the early preseason. A couple guys have been hurt. In fact, DeMarcus Robinson beat their number one corner on one of Mahomes' passes, the big one. And Mahomes has got, I mean, he's got that flash. He's got that. He's got the arm. He's got escapability. He still does dumb rookie things.
Sure.
But he looks like he has a tremendous, tremendous upside. But again, as I was saying, your best classroom is playing football games, and this was his last game of the year, barring some unforeseen circumstance. So.
Yeah, and if somehow you're listening to this show now at almost 11 o'clock and you weren't watching the game, I can recap. The three throws that Pat Mahomes made that all went to DeMarcus Robinson, they're all tremendous. He had that 53-yard bomb that traveled 60 yards in the air.
Yeah, right.
That was the first sort of jolt to this game. The second play, I think, was the most impressive one. He scrambled around, rolled right, threw off his back foot, got hit pretty hard, and nailed DeMarcus Robinson for a 45-yard strike. And then the third pass was in that two-minute drill. Mahomes threw a 28-yard beauty to Robinson for a touchdown. Did any of those do more for you than the other of those three major highlights?
Well, the second was terrific when he rolls out and he throws. Well, he throws on the run as good as anybody I've seen.
Yeah.
And that one throw, and I think I've saw it from 10 people on Twitter, that was Aaron Rodgers.
That was.
That's a throw he makes.
It was.
He's very impressive. Now I know why they went up to get him. When they first did it, I thought when they went up before they made the pick, I thought, oh, that's Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go get Deshaun Watson. But they didn't. They stuck by this guy. It was something that the GM then, John Dorsey, and Clark Hunt and Andy Reid all wrote off on and said, okay, when you make a decision like that, you're going to, you better be right. And it looks like at this point, and we'll see what happens down the road, but right now it looks like that was the good pick to make.
Yeah, and the Aaron Rodgers comparison, that's something that I thought immediately. I tweeted out. I said, "This. I am not saying that he's Aaron Rodgers, but I look at that play. That's a play that I've seen Aaron Rodgers make. You have that kind of arm talent. You're able to throw off of your back foot like that. There are a single you can count on your fingers how many guys in the NFL can make throws like that.
Right.
So for all of the rough edges that we all know Mahomes has
and is going to have until he plays.
Yes.
I mean, he's still going to make mistakes like that.
Yes.
Whenever he starts, he's going to make mistakes like that. He's going to throw it too short. He said, "Hey, I didn't realize that linebacker could jump that high."
Yep.
"Hey, kid, you're not Texas Tech anymore. These aren't Big 12 players. These are professional football players. They can all run, jump, got great speed." But he'll learn that.
Yes.
So he'll learn that.
And that's the stuff that you can learn. All right, 913-3810-810 is the phone number. Let's kick it off with JD. JD, what'd you see tonight?
Hey, well, I didn't see a whole lot to take away for next week, to be honest with you. You know, Mahomes looks like Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he looks like a guy who's still got some work to do, but I think he also just has these flashes of greatness, you know, and you just hope that he can continue to hone in on his craft where he can make one particular throw that stood out is where he was trying to throw the ball to Travis.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think that was an interception, but that the level of difficulty to just arc that ball over one defender and do that, I think that level of difficulty would even be hard for a Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he can't do it, but that would be an incredible pass to just be able to toss it over. I've called you guys last week. I thought maybe a receiver would stand out. I guess that one guy looked pretty good. I can't think of his name.
DeMarcus Robinson.
DeMarcus Robinson, yeah.
But, you know, the problem I have is how good really are these guys? It's two and threes going up, two and threes, and maybe some guys that won't even make the roster. So what really can you take away from this is probably nothing at the end of the day. So, Frank, I'll give you my prediction for next week.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to write this down.
All right, write it down. My prediction is going to be 31-13 New England.
Okay.
And at halftime, though, I will say it'll be like 17-7 New England, and we'll still be hanging on to this like glimmer of hope. But then about halfway through the third quarter, we'll all be changing the channel as Tom Brady decimates the Kansas City Chiefs in every way possible.
And their final record?
Final record, I'll say, 11 wins. The one game I get hung up on, I'd like to hear your guys' thoughts on, is the Kansas City Chiefs at the New York Giants on that. There's a few away games there, and just like to hear your thoughts on that. That's the one that I go back and forth and just don't even know what to make of it, and I'll listen off the air. Thanks for taking the call.
JD, thanks for the call. A lot of thought-provoking things. You know, I don't even think about the part of the schedule that scares me, and we talked about this. They go at Houston, Pittsburgh at home, and then they go at Oakland four days later on a Thursday night. That's a very difficult stretch right there. And then do the Giants come after the bye week, or is it?
Yeah, they're in that second half.
They're the first game in the second half, right?
I think that's right. I'm pulling it up right now.
Double check.
Yeah, right out of the bye.
That's why I'm not worried about the Giants too much, because Angie's is pretty good after the bye.
He is.
So, yeah. But they're going to be good. I mean, they're going to be good at home. So,
Adam Teicher put out his predictions today. He had them going 11-5, and he had kind of a surprising win and a surprising loss, and that's all that always happens.
Oh, sure, it does.
So
absolutely.
He had them losing versus the Dolphins at home and winning in New York against the Giants. I see that. So he had them sweeping the Chargers and the Broncos, but losing that Thursday night game against the Raiders.
Yeah, right.
That's about right. If anybody comes
what's
in with anything,
have, what's he have with New England and Pittsburgh?
Losing to the Patriots, losing to the Steelers.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it's that Thursday night game at Oakland, losing at the Giants, and then losing versus the Dolphins, which again is kind of the what? How did that happen? Game.
Yeah.
I also think if you beat the Cowboys in Dallas before that bye week, you're gonna drop that game to the Dolphins. I would flip those games because that's just. Those are the five games at least that I would say the Chiefs shouldn't be favored in, at Dallas, versus at the Patriots versus the Steelers at the Raiders at the Giants. The
you said game. At Dallas too, there right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Sure. Okay. All right. Good deal.
So I think you can argue anything in that department. other stuff that we saw tonight that I thought was interesting, and also we'll have Andy Reid as soon as he's out there at the podium. We'll bring you Andy Reid live. Right out of the gate, Kimi Oligwe, he looked like a guy
who flashed a lot tonight.
He looked like a guy who was not at home among a bunch of threes. He looked like a guy out there. He had six tackles in the first two drives. Mm-hmm. He was all over the field. He ended up with that incredible interception. He batted the ball up into the air and then caught it himself. A tremendous night from Oligwe. He's obviously making this team. I think we knew that already.
I think he was making it before this tonight even happened.
I agree.
And you know what? That tells me something about the kid, too. Here he is. He's a guy who's probably going to really contribute, be in the rotation, and play a lot,
mm-hmm.
not only on special teams, but also in the regular defense. And here he is. He's out there busting his butt.
The other guy that's like that was like that tonight that I saw from the same position, Kevin Pierre-Louis. He was all over the field. He made a lot of very athletic plays. He's out there running on special teams. I think he ended up actually knocking out the Titans' long snapper with a concussion on that J.U. Chesson touchdown we'll talk about in a little bit. He's all over the field. Oligwe and Kevin Pierre-Louis, the other guy on the defense, Tano Passanio, your boy. Rightfully so. You should get to own Tano Passanio's naming rights or whatever. If you want to shout out Villanova every
V
second,
for Villanova, baby.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
He out there, he doesn't look like a 290-pound guy. He looks like a superhero, and he runs like an outside linebacker. The thought was that he would come in and be in that defensive line rotation, but I'm starting to think that we're going to see more and more of Tano Passanio in that sort of flexible pass rusher position, because he just looks like a guy who's going to get to the quarterback.
And he played all night tonight. He played all four quarters tonight, and they used him all during the game in three different positions.
Yeah.
He was worn out. And, you know, just like, who was it? It was, who's a running back?
Devon Redding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, at least he'll have a lot of good tape, because he played pretty well.
He did.
But he was the guy they put out there. He's going, hey, look, you're the running back tonight. We're not going to chance Spiller. We're not going to chance Sharkhandrick West, mm-hmm. and we're not going to chance Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So you're out there. It's almost like, you know, you're down 12-0,
right?
And a pitcher's out there, and you're going to sacrifice the guy for the rest of the game. It's exactly what he was tonight. But, Oligwe was incredible. He really flashed, played really well tonight. Passanio did. DeMarcus Robinson, Patrick Mahomes, and, you know, we'll talk about J.U. Chesson as well. He ran back that kick. He had another good return, too. So I don't know if he was on the verge of getting cut.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where he was exactly with his football team, but I think he may sneak onto the end of the roster here, because they are they have no wide receivers. I mean, and I'm still, when all the cuts come Saturday afternoon by 3:00 and these guys are starting to be released, the Chiefs are going to have to try to find somebody out there. They may have to go after another running back who can play special teams, so we'll see.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they're going to try to bring in some sort of speed in that wide receiver group, because you've got, you know, Albert Wilson and even, honestly, Chris Conley. Those aren't fast guys. Those are possession-type receivers. D'Anthony Thomas has speed, but he doesn't really get used like a guy like Tyreek Hill gets used. So I would be surprised if the Chiefs don't bring in some faster skill position player who maybe is a little bit raw but is an option. Maybe it costs them a draft pick like it did with Reggie Ragland. Fine by me. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City, the Chiefs postgame show here, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Weekdays from 11 to 2, take advantage of the new 15-minute lunch guarantee at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports, see restaurant for details. The J.U. Chesson touchdown was one of the highlights from the game that didn't come out of Patrick Mahomes' hand. I think he's on this roster a step above. I think he was a step above of DeMarcus Robinson before tonight, frankly. DeMarcus Robinson had been kind of a ghost on this team throughout the preseason. Very little usage for him. Tonight was huge for DeMarcus Robinson. I think it's going to be the Kemps and the Jones and the other Jones. I think those are going to be the guys that just missed the bubble. Gary Dieter. I think Cheston's going to make this roster, but tonight being able to show that he can be an option in that return game has to help him. Although Kemp also looked really good on the more defensive side of special teams, so that, you know, that muddies it all up a little bit more. And we know that the Chiefs give Tobe a bunch of pull for a couple of guys that final cut day.
I still think DeAnthony Thomas, that's still going to be the return guy.
Agreed.
For kickoffs, at least. Tyreek Hill taking him out of punt returns, I think that takes away a tremendous weapon, because I don't think that is as good returning punts as Tyreek. I don't think anybody's as good as Tyreek. in the league.
I agree with you. And one thing that actually they got brought up a couple of weeks ago that I hadn't even thought of, the Chiefs might trot Tyreek Hill out there for punts a little more often than you might think, because teams aren't going to kick to him. They're going to see Tyreek Hill, and they're going to put it out of bounds. That's still a field position advantage.
Yeah, it is.
So the Chiefs are going to find every way possible to manipulate the field starting field position. It's something the Chiefs have a huge unfair advantage at.
And they better start doing it in game one.
Yes,
especially against teams like New England.
Yes.
We'll talk about the 500 dog games. New England, Pittsburgh, at the Raiders, Dallas, and the New York Giants.
Yes. Those are the games especially where stuff like that goes from being kind of a luxury to being an absolute necessity. So as much as I think Tyreek Hill is truly a number one receiver and he has to be on this team, if he's out there running back punts against the Patriots,
I'm okay with that.
Don't put him out there against the Jets. Put him out there against the Broncos even. But out there again, the Patriots game, if you think you've got a chance to actually hang with the Patriots, which I think you have to believe, right?
Sure.
Put them out there. I can get behind that.
They've been practicing for the Patriots since the end of last season.
Right. Another guy that looked good and that can lead to a larger kind of interesting battle, Gavin Escobar had a really nice touchdown catch towards the very end of the game there. And he ended up out on the field after Ross Travis did. Now, Ross Travis, he didn't have huge mistakes. The near pick, the first near pick that Mahomes threw went through his hands, but it was a tough catch. I think he was the target for the second.
He should have
caught also.
He
should have. It reminded me a little bit of that Tyreek Hill pass from last week where Hill ended up jumping around and turning around to try to catch that Alex Smith pass. You should have caught it. It also wasn't put exactly where you wanted the ball. But Ross Travis having, you know, at least kind of one negative play, Gavin Escobar having a really nice touchdown catch. Are you having any leanings for who you would want to keep as that third tight end behind Kelce and Demetrius Harris?
I think it's going to be Escobar.
I think it should be.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Escobar.
He ended up out there later, though, than I expected him to.
Yeah.
Ross Travis got most of the run to start there, and that was surprising to me.
Well, I'm sure that's exactly what Andy's competing. He's making them compete against one another to see who's going to get the position. He's not just going to hand it to him. So he's going to make those guys compete. He wants to see who the quarterbacks are comfortable with, and they can just they can go from there. But I think Escobar is going to make the team. So
I hope you're right. I think he is. I think he's simply.
If he doesn't make this
weapon.
Team, if they do cut him, somebody's going to pick him.
Absolutely,
up. He's
going to
play
that.
Somewhere.
Again, we'll hear from Andy Reid whenever he ends up at the podium. A couple of the drawbacks from tonight's game, if you're going to, you know, you can read into preseason games however much you want. And frankly, I don't think you can really be criticized either way. But Mahomes had those two near interceptions. He had the one pass that he threw
had
a little
two
bit.
Interceptions.
Two near interceptions. Near interceptions. I'm trying to live in what they should have been.
Interceptions.
He had
two interceptions.
Such a pessimist.
They
such
were
a
called
pessimist.
Back.
They were overturned.
Two interceptions.
Hold on, let me check the stat sheet really quick. Oh, Patrick Mahomes. Let's see.
9 for 16. 183 yards, one touchdown, and two interceptions.
Where are you reading that? Because the box score doesn't have anything. He had a 117 rating, which is actually the lowest of the three quarterbacks tonight.
Yes.
Because Joel Staley went out there and threw down 2 for 2, 70 yards, and a TD.
About that.
It's a 158.3 quarterback rating for Stave. Later on, I'll give you my conspiracy theory for why the Chiefs should actually just keep two quarterbacks. There's a tease for after we hear from Andy Reid, depending on how long Andy Reid takes.
My
how long
gosh,
is it going to
take? I can't believe it's taking this long.
No kidding. What's he waiting
especially
on?
Especially a preseason game.
Fourth preseason game. Good job, guys. Here, I'll do the end. Here's Andy Reid in the locker room right now. Good job, guys. Some of you won't be here tomorrow. Enjoyed having you around.
No,
I'm going to go talk to the media.
Hold it. Remember, but you got to first go. How about those?
Does he do that in the preseason?
I don't think
so. He might as well.
I don't think so.
But Mahomes had a couple of near interceptions. A little over Ross Travis. And on the second one, he knew why the pick happened. You can see after he threw it, he was doing a little like wave motion with his hand. He needed to put it over that linebacker. You mentioned it's the NFL. Linebackers can jump now.
He played a little bit like, well, he played like a rookie quarterback.
Yep.
He made some rookie mistakes. That's going to happen to you.
Yep.
But he also has those flashes of wow. He does have the wow factor.
Yes.
Just go, wow.
And that's where I'm at right now. Again, you draft a rookie quarterback, they're going to have to learn by making mistakes. That's part of the process. I am okay with that.
You're going to have to wait till next year for that to happen.
Yeah, and you hope that the year of... I talked to I talked to Matt Waldman earlier today over on ESPN Kansas City, and he had the best argument of anyone that I've talked to about why Patrick Mahomes can benefit from learning
sitting
off the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he used the analogy of like reciting lines in a play or like playing an instrument. If you have to think about your lines in the play, you have to think about the notes that you're playing, then all of a sudden you're not being able to listen to whenever Andy Reid says, hey, on this read, you missed the fact that the cornerback was turning his hips the wrong direction.
Right.
You should have gotten the ball to that receiver. You should have known he was going to get a step advantage. If you're trying to remember the play call and how to give that play call, you ought to be able – you're not going to be able to keep up with that. All right, Andy Reid now is up at the podium. Let's hear from Coach.
Way came out with a stinger. Hawkins has a concussion. And really everybody else came out okay. O'Kine was okay and was able to go back in. Just one thing for the people from Houston, our hearts are with them and we feel them. I mean, that's a very tough situation that's going on there. And I know the NFL has really rise to the occasion, particularly the Cowboys and the Texans, and helping out along with the rest of the league and their support. So our love's with them, and our prayers are with them. So, time's yours.
Hey, Patrick, tonight, a couple of deep calls, but the one that seemed particularly intriguing was the 46-yard pass down the sideline. Can you just discuss that play and what you saw develop there? Is that as you would like to see it play out?
Well, there was one where he scrambled all around. I'm not sure the numbers on it, but he had the one early second series, I think it was down the middle. So that was good, a good read. And then the next one, he had to move around a little bit to our right, towards our bench, and then put it up, and it was quite a play. I thought 14 had a nice day catching him, too. And then the one at the end of the half was really very well executed. That's a double move play, and a lot of times you know, the receiver comes out a little bit slower than he goes in, and you really got to have a good timing with it, but did well there.
In that sequence, I think it was 3rd and 18 on the sideline. I was curious, it's very close to being a great play and close to being intercepted. Is that the play you want to see?
Well, I'll take the great one, the great play, and not the interception, but I know which one you're talking about there, yeah. Went through the tight end's hands is what it did. So, but you got to shoot those. You got to try to make it happen. And I thought he did that. You got to make that catch.
How do you think Kyra looked?
I thought he did a good job. You know, he missed the first extra point there, but thought he did well. He had a big kicking day on Sunday, and felt great coming out of that. And felt good tonight. So I think we're in a good spot.
You talked about Marcus Robinson. You were happy with him at the end of OTAs. Did he show you any of that until tonight at camp or
anything? Yeah, I thought he started off strong in camp, and then he kind of went through that almost a rookie lull right in there, even though he's not a rookie, but he had a little bit of a lull in there. And then I thought the last 2 weeks he's come on, he actually was working with the ones, rotating in with the ones here this past week at practice. And so for him to come out and have a day like he did today was good. It was he needed that, and you know, he did a nice show. The quarterbacks have trust in him, which is important.
Was the Marcus's best trick?
Well, he's strong after the catch. We knew that when he came out. I think he runs good routes. He's strong player. Runs good solid routes, and you know, he just experience would be the thing that he's probably lacking there. But whatever he's going to do, it's going to be 100 miles an hour. So. Yeah, so it was a little bit, BJ, you were there for the first message was make it as hard as you can on Brett Veach, and Brett includes me on it, so make it as hard as you possibly can on us. And then in return, we're going to give you an opportunity to show and have some film and kind of build a resume for yourself. And so one of the great things about this camp here was in the preseason games, these kids were able to get themselves on tape, so they don't make it with us. They have a chance to make it with somebody else, and so I just thanked them for the effort. I don't know who's going to be here or not be here, but I thanked them for the effort that they gave us, and They work their tail off. So this ends up being the hardest time for you as a head coach, general manager. It's it's a tough time because these kids work so hard.
And I'm certainly not looking for an exact answer on this, but just ballpark range. Like, how many, for people watching, like, how many jobs are really up for grabs tonight? How many spots for guys? How many other players?
Yeah, well, you probably say a handful of spots there that you're looking at. Just a rough guesstimate.
Andy, just Trace Patrick start to finish in the preseason, where you say he landed, and did he exceed your expectations? Is he right on course? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I thought this was a great experience for him here, and you can learn some things there. When you have to prep for a game that you don't have to learn as a relief pitcher, and at least in the preseason as a relief pitcher. So I thought he handled the last few days the right way. He knew he was going to be the starter, so we gave him time there to to prep. He'll also have to carry that same thing over as a backup, and that you're just one play away from being the guy. So this was a very, very important thing for him.
Just to confirm what you said,
that'll
be your number two quarterback going into
the regular season? Yeah, that's what we're looking at right now.
And what were your impressions of Tyler and Joel in the second
half? Yeah, I thought they did a good job. Joel didn't have quite as many opportunities as what Tyler had. They were blitzing a little bit. I mean, Dick is a wizard at that stuff and had a couple zero blitzes in there. And I thought Tyler hung in there and held his own, did a nice job of those.
Yeah,
I was afraid Justin Houston was going to get a penalty, man. He was up in like midfield cheering him on. So the guys get into it. I mean, they love it, Marcus. I mean, they were all Eric Berry. It was hard to keep all those guys back. And Kelsey you saw out there, and 12 Gauge was out there doing his thing. I mean, they were all involved and going after it. So it was kind of a neat deal.
All right,
thank you.
There's head coach Andy Reid. Did he just call Albert Wilson 12 gauge? I mean, that has to be Albert Wilson, right? He wears number 12.
12 gauge. There we go.
Who else is 12 gauge?
That's it.
Anything
Mahomes
stand out to you?
Definitely the number two.
Yeah.
I mean, we all knew that. Mm-hmm. So, he talked about Mahomes, about those plays. I mean, Andy, they're moving on next week. Nobody asked him about New England. Which is sort of strange in its own right about moving forward. They did talk about the cuts. It's going to be tough for Brett Veach, but he goes, yeah, I don't know who's going to make it not. I go, come on, coach.
Yeah.
You're the one that's going to tell him who's going to be on the team and who isn't.
Right now, Andy Reid could give you 48 guys who are going to be on this team.
Yeah.
We have an exclusive report that 12 Gauge is, in fact, Albert Wilson. Yes. Thank you, Shane, for the exclusive report.
There it is.
12 gauge. That's awesome. All right, we're going to take a break. Whenever we come back, we'll hopefully get
big
some sound
thing too
from
that.
Oh, okay, hold on.
Is Cairo Santos. This guy has been bothering me the whole offseason. Had a big workout Sunday, turned around, kicked on Thursday, feels good.
Yes.
He hit the upright on the extra point, but he kicked the field goal, 48-yard field goal. So
yes.
I feel better about Cairo Santos. And, I hate kicking field goals as much as anybody, mm-hmm. but that guy, you got to have that guy on your team.
Absolutely. So we'll talk a little bit more about a couple things that popped up. I'll give my quarterback conspiracy theory depending on how long. It's not a conspiracy theory. It has here's an extra little tease here. It has nothing to do with Patrick Mahomes.
Biggest lie ever.
No, my dice roll here. My dice roll is about Tyler Bray and Joel Stave.
Oh please!
It is. I promise.
This
talk
is
about
big.
It is.
It's huge. It's going to make them hang during a commercial break.
Don't you dare turn
Tyler
that channel.
Bray or Joel Stave.
Right. It's intense. All right, you're listening to Chiefs Post Game here on Sports Radio 810 WHB Kansas City. Frank Bull. I'm Joshua Briscoe. We're brought to you in part by Missouri Lottery. Thanks to players like you, more than $5 billion have been raised for the students, schools, and teachers of Missouri, because every time you play, you pay it forward to education with the Missouri Lottery. Whenever we come back, we'll hear from the locker room here on Chiefs Post Game.
Second and 10 at the Titan 28, retreating. Out of the shotgun, Mahomes throwing for the end zone. He's got a man open. Catch made. Touchdown, Kansas City, on a perfect throw, feathered into the waiting arms of Demarcus Robinson. A 28-yard touchdown pass with 18 seconds remaining in the half.
That is Patrick Mahomes.
God.
And that is our player of the game, brought to you by Joslyn's Jewelry, your hometown jewelry store, celebrating over 35 years in Kansas City. Joslyn's Jewelry, the jeweler you'll recommend to your family and friends, the quarterback that you'll recommend to your family and friends if you have any sense about you whatsoever. It's brilliant. Also, Patrick Mahomes, and that play, that is the play of the game, brought to you by Bud Light. Celebrate beer, football, and friends with the new Bud Light Chiefs aluminum bottle, now available at your local retailer. Bud Light is the official beer sponsor of the NFL and your Kansas City Chiefs. Please drink responsibly. Also, listen, I'm going to be honest. I got a little behind in the sponsor book. Sometimes that happens.
Hey,
I'm making rookie mistakes.
Just catch up.
I'm making rookie mistakes.
Go.
The Andy Reid's press conference there was brought to you by Kansas City's own 360 Vodka. 360 Vodka is an award-winning premium vodka that is locally sourced and sustainably made. 360 Vodka is perfect for your game day cocktails, so don't hit the tailgate without it. And Tommy Moe on the line.
Oh, boy.
A very convenient time because, Tommy Moe, you are the caller of the day. I hate to inform you that there is not a gift card associated with being the caller of the day, but it's still brought to you by the Kansas City Steak Company, proud partners of the Kansas City Chiefs. Visit them online at kansascitysteaks.com/wefeedthechiefs for special offers, or at their retail store at 5140 Kansas Avenue. Tommy Moe, I'm sorry to keep teasing you with no gift card, but I'm hoping that Danny will make it right for you during the regular season. What's on your mind from tonight?
Hey, not much. Hey, I've won two of those gift cards, and it's a great deal. But, hey, I want to ask Frank his opinion as a former coach. Frank, you did coach football back in the day, right?
Yep, 5 years.
I was sitting, eight rows on the 50. I drew great seats tonight for whatever reason. It was preseason, got them cheap. I was sitting 8 rows behind the Chiefs sideline observing Cameron Irving. And Cameron Irving never once, after the offense comes off the field, the O-line sits there and they go over the formations or the sets the defense had and maybe a blitz pickup or other. Never once did he walk over to the offensive line and offensive line coach to see what they were doing right, what they were doing wrong. LDT was over there. Mitch Morse was over there. Zach Fulton was over there listening to their coach. I don't know who the O-line coach is, but
right.
is that weird? Do we look into that at all?
That's weird. That's weird to me. I'm not sure how engaged Raglan was. I'm not sure, when the defense came off,
right.
He's the other new acquisition. He was in T-shirt and shorts, whatever he was in, on the sidelines. They interviewed him. I did not notice that. That's the first time I've heard that. That does seem a little odd. You'd think he'd be more engaged.
Yeah, he had a red shirt on. It was him. I pulled up a picture of him from the Browns and from Florida State. I know that was him.
Okay.
And I said, he just stood there all day, and then one time he did get kind of close to the to the meeting area where the O-line, but there was cheerleaders on the scoreboard, and that was more interesting to him.
Okay, well,
so just something to put back in our minds, like, hey, why is a first-round draft pick getting traded, pretty much cut from his team after just 1 or 2 years?
Yeah, right.
So,
well, that's an interesting observation. Tommy, before you go, score next Thursday night is? Final score.
Chiefs, 28. Pats, 24.
Okay, and the Chiefs record?
11-5.
Okay.
That's Frank, you've said it a few times. Their last seven games, they could easily go 6-1, 7-0.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a great – it's right after a bye week. They'll go through the toughest part of their schedule. They'll go to the bye week. They'll come back with the Giants, which is the toughest game in that entire stretch the rest of the year.
Yeah, so I agree. So – like I said, I'll just be interested because they pretty much got right at Ja Reed and said, Cameron Irving, you got his swing position.
Mm-hmm.
Guard, tackle, center, wherever we need you, you're going to be the swing guy with Zach Fulton. So I just a weird observation on my part. I'm just sitting there watching him through the whole game, and never once did he get engaged with the offensive line coach, or anybody. So who knows? Might have been nothing. We'll see what happens next week.
Tommy, we'll keep an eye on that. That's great.
All right, thanks a lot.
It's a great observation. Tommy always has good stuff anyway.
He does. And
I love to talk to him about the speed guys because he's a track coach.
I didn't know that.
I love to talk to him about speed and speed guys and the way they use their speed and football speed versus track speed and, that sort of thing. He has a lot of good stuff.
The Cam Irving thing is interesting. The offensive line coach is Andy Heck. I would think that a new guy coming in, certainly a reclamation project, by the way. He had some really bad
huge
stretches.
Huge disappointment.
Yes, in Cleveland. I would think he would want to be as involved as possible. Maybe he, you know, this is me projecting. Maybe he had some nerves about, you know, like diving in too hard to the offensive line group. I think he'd want to not do that.
Hang around the group.
You would think so.
Show him you care. Yeah.
You would think so. But we'll see. Something to keep an eye on. He's definitely in that spot now. All right, we have a bunch of sound from the Chiefs locker room tonight. We're going to start it off with who else? Patrick Mahomes. We've got to hear from him first.
Is he sponsored?
He was. Don't jump the gun yet. How long? Beards really quick. How long is this Patrick Mahomes clip?
It's 2.5 minutes, and Patrick Mahomes is brought to you by Almost Entirely Sports.
That's true. 4 to 6 every week on ESPN Kansas City. Thanks, Beards. That's good. Let's hear from Patrick Mahomes.
Pat, what were your expectations for where you'd be at this point in your career, and have you exceeded those?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've gotten better every single day, and that's been the plan all along. I mean, it's a process, but you want to make sure you come in every single practice, every single game, and improve.
If you had to play in a regular season game, you feel like you'd be ready for whatever that defense would be throwing at you?
Yeah. I think it helps when you have Alex in front of you teaching you. You have Coach Reed, Coach Nags, and them helping with you with the game plan and everything like that. I mean, just learning from those guys every single day would have me prepared.
Some of the throws you made tonight, particularly the second one from Marcus, I mean, you've been making those throws your whole career, but are those remarkable? We don't see those around here a whole lot. I mean, are those remarkable to you in any way?
I mean, for me, it's all about getting the ball up and just letting the receiver make a play. I saw DeMarcus on the guy, and the guy was behind him. I knew if I put it out there that he was going to make a play on the ball, and he did. It was a great play, a great catch, and I mean, just something where you just got to let those guys make plays.
It looked like you were initially just trying to get rid of the ball. Was that ever a thought in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I went through all the reads. They had covered it up pretty well. Just kind of started scrambling out to the right. The line had protected me for a day and a half, so I was kind of scrambling out to the right, saw D-Rob out there, and just put it out there.
Patrick, on the, I think, a couple, three plays later, 3rd and 18, pass on the sideline. You were just there from having it complete and just there from having it intercepted. Is that the ball you wanted to throw? And is that the one you would take back?
Yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, I would have put it out there with a little bit more velocity and he would have made the catch. But it was something where I was trying to just look over the middle first. Stretch had beat him, and you don't want to really throw to the sideline late. But if I'd have thrown a little bit harder, it would have been a completion.
Pat, you showed multiple times tonight where you can change your arm angle to make a throw. Is that something you've been doing lately, or is it something you've just done your whole life?
I think it's just something that's came with playing baseball my whole life and being able to throw sidearm and do those things. But for the most part, I try to stay with the same arm angle, same thing. But if it comes to where I need to change arm angle, I feel like I can do that.
Roll with Coach, guys.
How have you seen the touchdown pass develop?
Coach Reed actually had said something to me in the game plan about if they played this coverage that this could be open, and it worked out perfectly, and it just goes with game planning and things that happen throughout the week.
After your preseason, are you ready to take a step back and watch for a little bit now that you've had a chance to do all that?
I mean, I'm super excited just for the next week coming up. I mean, just really just starting the regular season, going out there into a great environment, and playing a great team.
There's Patrick Mahomes. That Chiefs postgame player interview is brought to you by the Sports Medicine and Performance Center at the University of Kansas Health System. Whether it's your back, knee, hip, shoulder, or a concussion, see the same experts who care for the Chiefs. Learn more at sportsmedicine.kansashealthsystem.com.
You just gave him a sponsor.
I did. He's not personally sponsored, but that Chiefs postgame player interview sure as hell is. All right, I'll tell you one thing about Patrick Mahomes that I think means a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest hurdles he's going to have coming from Texas Tech to a West Coast offense with the Chiefs is he's got to get a feel for the reads. He's got to get a feel for the terminology. And whenever he talks about it, he sounds like a guy that's getting the hang of it at a really good pace. Is that fair?
Yeah, he said, because Andy said, hey, look for this to happen.
Yep.
He looked for it, and there it was. And so to me, kids listening, he was getting reps in practice. He won't be anymore, but I think he really, this preseason was terrific for him. I think it was terrific for the fans, too, and Andy Reid, because he had to find out, really, if they made the right decision on this kid.
Yeah.
I mean, at least get a glimmer into this kid does have the potential we think he he does have. So we're going to be, I think we made the right decision.
And, you know, coaches talk all the time about how little they prepare for preseason games. Uh-huh. It sounds like Andy Reid might have went ahead and said, hey, let's go ahead and get Patrick prepared for this a little bit. Let's get him a few things to look for, see how he deals with some actual game preparation. Sure. It seemed like he handled it really well.
He did.
The target
still won't be starting.
That's okay. I've come to terms with it.
Okay, you all right?
Sure. I had to dab some tears out of my eyes as he was speaking.
All right.
Those dulcet tones.
Dulcet.
Yeah, that Southern
Muppet.
What
you call that?
That Southern Muppet thing he's got going on. His main target throughout the night tonight was DeMarcus Robinson. He's a guy that I think is certainly on the bubble, especially was going into tonight, but he was on fire. He had three receptions for 127 yards, all from Patrick Mahomes and that touchdown. Let's hear what DeMarcus Robinson had to say after the game.
DeMarcus, what was going through your mind when Mahomes hit you for that big gain, when he was just kind of scrambling? You guys were playing backyard football. You guys have developed a good chemistry the last couple of weeks, it seems.
Yeah, my thing was just try to get open down the field. I seen him start to scramble, so I was like, oh, man. I knew how I had that quarterback, and I was like, he can make big down the field plays, and I just tried to get open when I seen him scrambling.
Anybody else? Touchdown pass. Open up.
Oh, man, just great blocking by the O-line. Man, great read by the quarterback. And, man, we got it in the end zone.
What kind of arm does Patrick have?
A great arm. I mean, you seen him tonight. I mean, he just slinging the ball with none effort and make completions.
Did you ever game like that in college where you had 130 yards a season?
Yeah, I had 215 my highest game in college. Yeah.
How do you feel after tonight, you know, a performance like that?
Oh, man, it's always great to get a touchdown in a 100-yard game. So, I mean, I feel great right now.
Do you feel like you gained some momentum tonight heading into the regular season next week?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, it's always good to be on the field and kind of, like, just catch balls and, like, just be out there, because then you start to get the feel of the game and get more confident in yourself. So, yeah, it was pretty decent.
DeMarcus Robinson is an interesting guy at this point, because that receiver position fluctuates up and down so much right now. Mm-hmm. He could be the third receiver on this team. He could get cut tomorrow, and neither thing would totally shock me.
Right. I don't think he's going to get cut, and I don't think he, because of the receiver situation, he was in any danger. And if you listen to Andy, he talked about Robinson. He said he started, you know, camp strong, went through a lull, but he said the last 2 weeks he's been rotating with a one.
Right. Yep.
So he obviously was always going to be in the mix,
yes,
with the wide receivers here on the Chiefs. So he says he's strong. He likes the routes he runs. He just says he just has to keep getting experience. So he's on. They can't afford to get rid of any receivers.
No, I mean, it's just there's such a mire there they're stuck
right
in.
I even think if they acquire a guy, they pick a guy up off the scrap heap or whatever, I think DeMarcus Robinson's still making the team. So
30 seconds of baseball news, maybe less. The Astros are trading for Justin Verlander.
They got him.
And
right before the deadline where they can participate in the postseason. So he will be on their postseason roster. The Astros, by the way, were going to go, because of the real tragedy in Houston, they were going to go on like a 20-game road trip. And now it doesn't look like they're going to have to do that. They're going to be back. And even the Texans and stuff are starting to say, hey, we're going to play here.
Yep.
We want our fans. We want to give them, you know, some hours of, you know, not thinking about what's going on with the flood and doing all that sort of thing. So it's going to be interesting. By the way, that makes Houston, to me, way more dangerous than I thought they were going to be.
As a team, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the team unity, the town, the city, their attitudes about playing for the city, I think they're going to be a lot tougher than anybody's going to give them credit for.
I agree. I don't think that will make Tom Savage a good quarterback.
No, I do not. I agree with that.
I can breathe that far. Yep. Back to the Chiefs. A little breaking news detour. I think that was rightfully earned.
Yeah, that's fine. It's no problem.
Let's go back though now to a guy who we started off the show talking about. Yakemi Oligwe was all over the field tonight. He had six tackles in the first two drives. He batted up that one pass and pulled in the interception. He talked also after the game.
How did it feel to get the start tonight, even though it's the final preseason game, the most playing time you've got so far this preseason?
Oh, it feels good. It helps you get into the groove of things, you know what I'm saying, feel the offense out, and you get to make more plays, I would say, because you get more comfortable.
Did you take any tips from what DJ's been giving you so far this training camp? You know, it's out there that he's kind of taking you under his wing and everything and trying to teach you little tricks of the trades to help you out.
Oh, 100%, man. Everything that I'm learning from all the veteran guys are helping me on the field, for sure.
He's a beast.
Funny, TK.
A game like this, what does it do for your confidence heading into the regular season?
No, it definitely helps. It definitely helps. But we'll see what happens next couple of days. I'm on the 53. I just want to be able to contribute to the team no matter what it is.
Do you feel like if you're called upon to go in next week against New England, if something happens, you can do the job to your fullest capabilities?
100%. Yeah, definitely.
To give me a leeway, he looked good tonight, and I know that we're doing all this grading on a curve.
Yeah, because of who they're playing against.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But Tano Passanio, Yakemi Legway, and Kevin Pierre-Louis are three guys on defense who did not look like they looked like they did not belong with the threes, which is a good thing. I felt good about all three of those guys tonight. One other guy.
Jeez, you didn't mention Patrick Mahomes.
I was just on the defensive side of the ball. See, now you brought him up.
There you go.
I'm telling you, I think... I'm happy to be connected with the future of Patrick Mahomes because he's going to, you know, whenever he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, whenever he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback 2 years from now, you're going to look back at this moment and go, damn, he was right. But I can talk about the rest of the team also.
Lord.
Did you catch that?
Go back to your original rant. Go.
Those guys look good.
Go. Yeah, they did. They all look good tonight.
The other the special teams highlight from tonight, there's always a special teams highlight with the Chiefs, it seems like. Tonight's was courtesy of J.U. Chesson, the rookie wide receiver. He ended up taking a punt back, a very impressive return. He started on the left sideline, brought it all the way back around the right. He spoke tonight after the game as well.
Is that the first punt return for a touchdown you've ever had?
High school. Yeah. Yeah, no. But in NFL, yeah, obviously, yeah. So.
But never returned punts?
Yeah, no. Trying to think, just kickoffs in college. Maybe I fielded a couple. I really don't remember. I was at Michigan for 5 years, but yeah, just kickoffs.
How much different is it returning a punt than a kickoff?
I think a kickoff return you can catch the ball going forward more so, and everything closes faster. So you gotta hit it. You know, you gotta hit it fast. But punt return, you make one guy miss and. You just one movement up and just try to get to the edge, try to get to your blockers, and then because with a punt return you have everybody else is running at you, right? But kickoff return, only the opposing team running at you, so you have a lot more things going on in your face. So, but they're both fun, man. I enjoy both.
Was that the first time you were back for a punt return in the preseason?
Yeah.
In a game?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much in practice had you worn over a
day? Oh, every day. Yeah, we catch about, all together, our group catches from about like 50 to 70 balls a day. Each person gets 9 to 11 balls a day. Coach Stoll does a wonderful job of that. And Garrett Dieter does a great job of getting me out there, too, to try to catch extra balls before the game and even after practice. Because it's important, man. Like I said earlier, special teams is a very important phase of the game.
This is J.U. Chesson, one of the guys who looked good tonight. We're going to take a little bit of a break. Last call for calls, 913-3810-810. We'll come up, wrap up shop. Maybe Frank and I will give a little bit of our look ahead to the Patriots game.
We will. We'll give a final score, and we'll give our season prediction.
All that coming up next.
Second and 10 at the Titan 28, retreating. Out of the shotgun, Mahomes throwing for the end zone. He's got a man open. Catch made. Touchdown, Kansas City, on a perfect throw, feathered into the waiting arms of DeMarcus Robinson, a 28-yard touchdown pass with 18 seconds remaining in the half.
A perfect throw feathered into the arms of DeMarcus Robinson. I love Mitch Holtis. I'm Josh Briscoe, Frank Bull, here for Chiefs postgame on Sports Radio 810. We'll wrap up shop here with a little bit of a look forward. We've looked at this game tonight. We've looked back a little bit. We've talked about Patrick Mahomes, not nearly enough, but at least some. And now we look to a week from today. The Chiefs and Patriots will be lining up
by
in
this
Foxborough.
Time, be over. There'll be a postgame show.
Yes, you and allegedly Danny.
Allegedly, I don't know. I wait for the schedule to come out on Mondays. Chad Boger tells me when and where to go.
That's right.
All right.
And you'll
I'll
be here.
I'll be there.
Unless you have a book signing or something.
No, I have no book signing.
Okay. So we are preparing mentally for that. How do you think that game unravels?
I should say unfolds,
but unravels might be more accurate.
I don't think they're going to win.
I don't either.
I don't think it's going to be out of hand. I think it's going to be like 27-17,
mm-hmm.
something of that nature. They'll be up 20-17 late, maybe, and intercept a pass, pick up a fumble, something like that. I think it'll be a close game the whole way. If they can somehow win that game, I think they'll win 12. If they lose that game, I think they'll win 11. So I think they're still going to lose. They'll lose five games, which is they'll be in the playoffs.
Yep.
They'll probably be good enough to win the AFC West. I think they're going to go, they're only going to lose one game, the AFC West. Everybody's going to say it be at Oakland. They're going to lose to somebody somewhere in the AFC West. It could be a situation at the end of the year where they can't do anything more with where they are at that time.
Right.
They play Denver, out in Denver in the last game of the season on New Year's Eve. And that could be it. It could be something like that. But I think that's where they end up.
I also think they lose to the Patriots. And I'm still getting all that those fine-tuned final predictions. But where I'm at right now, I think it's going to be something like 30-17, which is, I guess, only a field goal more than what you said. Mm-hmm. But I think right now the thing that terrifies me is we have not seen Terrence Mitchell in a uniform in 5 weeks or something. If Devontae Bosby or Kenneth Acker is playing cornerback against Tom Brady, don't even bother. Give yourself an extra fourth preseason game. Trot out your fours. It'll be a waste of time if you've got somebody completely incompetent.
And they missed out totally on Joe Hayden.
Yep.
He would have cost him a lot of money, but here's what scares you. He's playing for the Steelers.
Yeah, fantastic.
Oh,
fan bleep fantastic.
What you want to know.
So I'm pessimistic about the Patriots game. And I'll give you quickly my reasoning for why I think 10-6 is the number that I'm going
out,
which undercutting the average prediction apparently by a game. It's not necessarily because I specifically think they'll lose in L.A. to the Chargers, although I do think that's a very likely possibility.
In a soccer stadium?
In a soccer stadium, yeah. I here's the problem that I have. I think the Chiefs are a sneakily fragile team. There are five or six guys you say, oh, man, if they lose that guy, the whole castle comes tumbling down.
That's right.
They can't lose Tyreek Hill. They can't lose Travis Kelce. Alex Smith isn't even on this list, by the way. But you can't lose your quarterback.
No wonder.
No one can lose their quarterback, though.
Right.
You don't want anybody to lose your quarterback. Okay. Marcus Peters. Even Terrence Mitchell. What's his defense look like without Justin Houston at full strength? We've seen it, and it's not good enough.
DJ.
Derek Johnson in the middle.
He's gonna be back, yeah.
There are so many pieces here where it's not if they lose two of them, not if they lose three of them. If they lose any of those guys I just mentioned, the Chiefs can be in some real, real trouble. So that's sort of dampening all my optimism for this season. Also, part of the reason, you don't have a quarterback that can overachieve.
Sure,
that's not a call
for
Pat Mahomes.
And, of course, if they go like 0-6 to start out with, you have a chance to get your quarterback in there.
And that's not really what I'm trying to do. That's just that's
yes,
something
you are.
That I, that's not
don't,
it's not
don't lie, Josh.
I'm very excited about
don't
Patrick Mahomes.
Lie.
I'm not trying to shove him in there week one. Week four will be fine, thank you very much. All right, Frank Bull, thank
Bye
you.
Week.
Thank you for joining me on this venture.
Thank you for joining
I think I was
me.
Joining you. Yeah, I don't really know.
Thanks a lot, bud.
But
I do appreciate it.
It's been a blast the two times we've gotten to do this together. It's going to be a real downgrade when you have to deal with Danny every week.
Well, I know
but,
that.
You know, we can't have it all. My name is Josh Briscoe. Thank you to Beards McFly for running the board through all of this. The Chiefs win against the Titans tonight. Patrick Mahomes looks amazing. And that'll be all you see from him for about, a year.